Joining us now from the Chicago Board of Trade is Gordon Lynn. He's the president of the Lynn Group. He's an Iowa native. Spent his early years on a grain and cattle farm in central Iowa. After college, he launched a career in grain merchandising with Cargill in Minneapolis, and then he moved on to the Chicago area where he became a member of the Chicago Board of Trade. Gordon Lynn, thank you for joining us from the Chicago Board of Trade building today.
Todd, great to be here.
I'd like to talk a little bit about some of the things you've done over your career. You've been very active in the Chicago Board of Trade. You've been on a lot of committees, and some of those committees were pretty active in the electronic area. You probably heard through the headphones about the aberration in the electronic trade today, and I don't want to ask you about that in particular, but I want to ask you how the Board of Trade views electronic trade, how you view it in conjunction with your company, and we'll talk a little bit more about that later, too.
I was technology chairman here when, back in the 90s, the E-mini was started as a response to the Dow, and of course that was the kickoff of major electronic trading here in Chicago, and of course led to a resurgence of the Merchant where we're at today, which is the new CME-CBOT merger. We were positive all through that area as to what electronic trading could do for our markets, the expansion of volume that could come. And I think in the first 90 days of electronic trading here at the Chicago Board of Trade during the day session, we just have to be very encouraged by that response. Many of us who grew up in open outcry do not want to see open outcry go away. The color, the excitement downstairs, the free and open market where you can see what people are doing is just something to be sacred almost in my mind and in the market's mind. And I think that we will find each has its place. Right now, today, the electronic market was very much a leader at times. Of course, the value of open outcry is still here on the openings and the closing where people want to have the big numbers executed and executed quickly. We'll see how that works over time. We still have a problem with options throughout the electronic markets where the volume of the data and the kind of power that's necessary to put options trading and commodities onto these platforms is very challenging. Will we get it done? Well, even in bonds, which have been predominantly electronic for several years, we don't have it done yet. So it's a major challenge, and I think open outcry and electronics will be side by side 10 years from now, but I'm probably in the minority. We'll see.
Tell me a little bit about your group and some of the kinds of things, and I visited the Lynn Group's website last night, and it appears to me that one of the things that you wanted to do with that organization in conjunction with the Chicago Board of Trade was to try to make the numbers more accessible and usable by individuals as opposed to brokers, and so that they could get to the numbers. Brokers could too, but that they could get to the numbers and they could actually trade directly online through the Lynn Group if they wanted to.
Yes, I think as we look back over the last 15 years and we look at the satellite data from the space program where we had the digitized satellite abilities in the marketplace, what a change that was. But, of course, the biggest change in my lifetime has been the evolving of the Internet. And I think most people's lifetime. And the Internet has closed the gap between traders and various market segments. I listened to Wayne at L&M here a moment ago. What a tremendous response he gave you to his questions. A very knowledgeable guy, obviously on top of the markets. Kind of a pleasure to listen to him because, as you know, we in the commodities world are sometimes maligned as people who don't have the customer's best interests in mind. And one of the things I have tried to do in my career is assure the farmer and the customer that of how pure the markets really are. The open outcry couldn't be any more pure as you stand across the pit from somebody and hand signal and shout and make a trade right in front of everybody. And although you may not like the fill, we don't really like the bid mask on electronics either, as we see Kansas City today, a penny and a half, 2 cents between bid and ask. We'd like that to be zero, nothing. And my attitude is that this gap will continue to narrow between all participants. The information flow that the Internet allows is incredible. So we want to be a part of that, and we have what we call a Lynn Group platform, which is a very hot, quote, graphic information piece that we utilize for big customers. And then we have a free, I think, very respectable graphical product for farmers and customers where they can get really the same information at the same time almost. So the information flow across the marketplace is going to increase. As the farmer, percentages of farmers who get the Internet grows and grows and grows, we're all going to know everything that's happening within minutes and seconds, and I think that's great. In a marketplace that's going to evolve into higher and higher volumes, more and more users, and become even more important to the world's economies than it has been in the last 10 years.
I noticed on the Lynn Group site that you can actually paper trade there. And is that very popular? Can you track that? And are you able? And I suppose from your point of view, you want to take those paper traders and get them to actually trade. But do a lot of people use it?
I think people are afraid of making those electronic trades that they might hit 1,000 for one lot or something like that. So I think it gives them confidence. In fact, our new systems are what we call idiot-proof, where you click on the last price and it kind of fills in the blanks for you almost, and you need to maybe change the price a little or change the quantity. But those fears will go away over time. My sons are in the business. The Lynn Group has been here at the Board of Trade for almost 30 years and survived the blight markets, the Russian markets, the Chernobyl markets, the crash. When we think about what we've been through, and each more traumatic than the next, and many times those markets have caused consolidation. And we're proud that we're here, and I have three sons now in the business, and they're all a great deal more technology proficient than Dad, as are most 30-year-old people, and as the decision makers and the traders who have grown up with computers do the trading, we're going to make one more giant leap into to where really everybody is trading on a computer in some fashion during the day, not just 20%.
Gordon, we appreciate you being with us today.
Thank you, Todd.
Gordon Lynn is the president of the Lynn Group, joining us here from the Chicago Board of Trade. Once again, our thanks to the folks at the Board of Trade, especially Craig Grabner, who has helped us out, and Dave Dickey, who is back in the studio running the board, making sure that we get on the air. Agricultural programming on WILL, made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers. Our thanks, of course, to Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Fred Seaman, Senior Economist and Business Development Director here at the Chicago Board of Trade, now setting in to join us for a little bit of a discussion. And, Fred, thank you first for joining us. I hear that you are part of the deal behind the new ethanol swap contracts, and I want you to tell me what that is to begin with. Try to explain that, and we can go from that point forward.
Okay. Well, the ethanol market has been certainly a large growth industry that we've seen, particularly over the last 5 years or so. And how ethanol is traded has changed dramatically in that time. It used to be that ethanol, for the most part, was predominantly contracted 2 times per year on 6-month contracts. And that's still certainly probably the most common way to market ethanol. But with the advent of our ethanol futures contract, we've started to see the advent of different marketing protocols for ethanol. And one of those that has evolved and evolved along the lines of how we see energy products traded is over-the-counter calendar swaps. So we've designed an ethanol OTC clearing product that can be used for counterparties that are entering into these over-the-counter swaps so that they can come to the exchange and have those swaps cleared and eliminate their counterparty risk.
Okay, you're going to have to go back and give me a little more layman's terms so that I and the audience can make sure we understand this. We know that with the boom in the ethanol industry that there have been, there is and continues to be, and I'm not sure that this actually fills this need, that there is a need for a risk mitigation way or program to for the ethanol industry itself, or not the end user, but for the producer of ethanol. And is that what this does?
It pretty much is. Ultimately, the ethanol producer wants to produce his ethanol and sell a certain amount per month. And to get rid of the risk, he would love the fact if he could get one particular price for that ethanol and know that I'm going to get X amount for my ethanol and I'm going to produce this much each month and get that amount for it. And on the other side of the fence, you have a blender or an oil company that wants to buy ethanol, and they would love to be able to buy a certain amount of ethanol and pay a fixed price for it. And these swaps are basically a way for an ethanol producer and an oil company, let's say, that's blending ethanol, to come together and mutually agree upon a price that's going to be paid for the ethanol, a certain amount each month for some given amount of time. And that reduces their risk. I know I'm producing this much ethanol and I'm getting this price for it, and the oil company says, hey, I know I'm buying this much ethanol and I know how much I'm paying for it. And what the exchange is going to do is just to help facilitate that trade.
When will these contracts begin to trade? It was announced today. Do you have an idea on which day that they'll start trading?
December 4th.
All right. Thank you very much, Fred. We appreciate much your comments on that ethanol contract. What else do you do for the Board of Trade?
I work in business development, so I'm one of the agricultural economists here at the Board of Trade. So I work on all of the agricultural commodities, including ethanol. So it's been a really good time to be a member of that group here at the Board of Trade. Lots of change.
Is your job to follow the fundamentals of supply and demand for the products, or do you do something else?
No, not so much that. Working for the exchange, we're not actually allowed to give advice or anything like that. So my job is actually a lot of fun. I design new futures products, so wherever we see a need where there may be price risk management that's not being served by a market, that's where we step up to the plate. Ethanol is an example of that, and I'm working on some other things. So that's one thing that we do. Another thing we do that probably sounds boring to your listeners, but it's actually a lot of fun, is we conduct maintenance on existing contracts. And what that is underneath all futures contracts is a cash market, and those cash markets are always evolving and changing. And we have to monitor those cash markets so that we can keep the futures market current with the cash market. Because if we don't, either the buyer or the seller of futures is going to have some advantage. So our job is basically to keep futures contracts fair. And it's interesting, a lot of what we do is talk to buyers and sellers of our contracts, our customers, and they tend to want to have it tweaked so they get just a little bit of advantage. So our job is to basically listen to everyone, but ultimately keep everything fair so that no one has an unfair advantage. So generally that means that the best futures contracts is a futures contract that no one is completely happy with.
Sounds like doing news. If nobody's completely happy with you, you've done your job. We're out of time. What might be a tweak that you would do on a contract to make it track the cash better?
One thing we did last year this time with wheat is we lowered the amount of vomitoxin that was allowed in deliverable wheat. As the testing procedures get a little bit better for vomitoxin, the amount that is allowed into different uses has changed, and we had to change our requirements on the futures contract. So what is delivered is something that is also negotiable in the cash market.
Fred, we appreciate you being with us. Thanks much. We appreciate it a lot. Fred Seaman is the Senior Economist and Business Development Person here at the Chicago Board of Trade. I'm Todd Gleason. Our thanks to Craig Grabner and to Dave Dickey for helping out with the program. And in 2 minutes, we'll talk with Don Day about the agricultural weather.